being proactive as far as like different aspects of our lives, eating healthier, you know, exercising more, getting more on, I hate to use the comparison of like military discipline, but like
getting
our mind and bodies as sharp as possible.
Yeah.
And like, you know, to quote, you know, Richie Perez and the comrades Panama from the Young Lords, they used to always tell my wife Claudia, you know, it's sometimes within the movement, it's hard to get us to even have a meeting at 2 p.m., you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And these capitalists are waking up every single morning at 5 a.m., you know what I mean? And working at Wall Street.
Yeah, and planning and the meetings world. At 10 a.m., you know, Mondays and Tuesdays while we're at work.
They have a meeting at 6 a.m. type situation, you know what I mean? But so I think that, like, this is a moment in which it's time to step it up, time to step up the organizing, you know what I mean? Like, it can't just be preaching to the choir. We got to go to the hood, because I keep it real. Here in Chicago, you know, like, you see activists, but, like, you know, the hood has to get into this, too. But at the same time, the movement needs to also meet the hood where it's at. You know what I'm saying?
We totally agree.
That ultimately, when that energy comes together, then we're going to get free. And that's what it is, y'all. We're going to keep hitting the streets. And shout out to y'all for having me on.
Word.
Rebel Diaz Radio. I may not be in the studio, but I'm there with y'all.
Yeah.
Oh, you have been here with us for every minute.
Much love, man.
We hate to cut you short, Rob, but we unfortunately got to go. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Shout outs to G, to you, Claudia.
And everybody in Chicago.
Yeah.
Nationwide, for real.
Absolutely. WBAI 99.5
FM.
Peace, Rebel Diaz Radio.
Peace.
Thanks to you.
Thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
Hello, this is Gene Johnson, your local election supervisor, informing you that an on-air local board candidate forum will take place on Wednesday, November 25th at 9 o'clock a.m. You may submit questions in advance via email at wbai-les@pacifica.org, or you may leave a message with your questions at 347-927-0701. Thank you.
This is Gene Johnson, your local election supervisor. It is now time to cast your vote in the local station board election. You are eligible to vote if you renewed or became a member between August 7, 2014 and August 16, 2015. You should receive your ballot in the mail by November 4, 2015. If you registered in advance to cast your ballot online, you should have received an email with your voting instructions and password. If you did not register in advance for online voting, you can still cast your vote online. Your unique password will be included in your mail ballot materials, along with the online voting directions. All ballots must be received or cast online by December 4, 2015, Eastern Standard Time. For more information, please visit the election website at elections.pacifica.org or email me at wbai-les@pacifica.org. You can also call me at 347-927-0701. Thank you.
And you're listening to WBAI in New York. We'll be right back.
August, black August bloom. August bloom. My soul is fed by you, fed by you. And water with birth, then death is back to dirt.
Good morning. You're listening to Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. I'm Catherine, and I am here. We're about to have a lovely interview with a guest who's all the way out in California. But first, I want to say hello to Paulette Spencer, my co-host. Hello, Paulette. Are you there? Can we hear each other? How about now? Hello? Okay, well, this doesn't look too good. I'm going to play another piece of music, and then we're going to see if we can. We actually are in the transition process of implementing our new phone system. And as we make this transition, I'm going to play a little bit of Nawang Kachok, Music as Medicine. And the first piece you heard was Earth by Michelle Indiacello. Stay tuned. Let's try this again. Paulette.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
So I have our guest on hold on the other line, so will I be able to get him up if I put her back on hold?
I believe so.
Okay, so we're working this out on the air as we move along. So I'm going to see if we can bring up both Paulette and our guest on the line at the same time, who's standing by, hopefully listening to this, so that he can be prepared. So let's see if this is going to work. Hello, Nikitin. Are you there? Hello?
Yes, hi.
Oh, you are here. How great this is. So, we just had a new phone system put in today or yesterday, and we are just trying it out for the first time this evening.
Okay, great.
Paulette, you're still there?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Ah, yes, we have both on the line at the same time. So welcome to live radio over WBAI in New York City. I'm Catherine, and my co-host is Paulette, standing by. And my very special guest, our very special guest today, is Nikitin Kimento. And he's the first-generation graduate of the New York Earth Center. He began his initiation in 2006. Over the past 10 years, he has served in the capacity of a student, a teacher, as well as a lecturer, lecturing on diverse topics concerning traditional culture. He is the head scribe and financial officer of the New York Earth Center and currently oversees the San Diego Earth Center. Every year, for the past 8 years, Nikitin has traveled back and forth from the U.S. to the motherland, living there several months each year, deepening his studies and continuing the arduous process of his initiation. He has also established roots back home and is in the process of repatriation. That is pretty amazing, and I want to say hello and welcome Nikitin Kimento to Heart of Mine, Earth at Midnight. Thank you so much for joining me today, myself and Paulette.
Thank you so much. And greetings, Kathy. Greetings, Paulette.
Greetings.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, yes, thank you. And I'm kind of excited about today's show. And there are going to be many people who have heard of the Earth Center and the work of Master Naba Lemusa Moradenibig, but there are many who do not. So I thought it would be a good thing to start at the beginning, and you could tell us who Master Naba is and how it is he came to have formed I don't know if I want to say school, I guess it's a school, but it's more of an initiation process here in the United States.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's a big subject, but I'll try to, start from a tangible place. The Prophet Neb Naba Lemusa Moradenibig, he was born in 1960, and he was raised traditionally. And also later in his life, he had some exposure to colonial education as well. And he, in his traditional initiation, he rose quickly and surpassed his masters in all of his disciplines. And even when I go back there now, and meet with his teachers and his peers there, they really reflect that he really was kind of a priest of priests, you know, the kind of man that priests went to for their work. And he was a priest for kings as well. And he was an expert in the area of traditional medicine, healing, astrology, astronomy, readings, philosophy, language, history. I mean, really just all aspects And it comes from a bloodline. The Naba bloodline is a priesthood bloodline that goes back millennia. And with all that said, what I know, and from all the time I spent with the Makadu, as we call him, the Makadu was a very humble, humble man, and he never showed any of these abilities. When I first met him, his basic attire is, you know, just white T-shirt, some kind of khaki shorts and flip-flops, you know. And a very, very, very nice man. He never, dressed up and reflected highly of himself, except through his deeds. So by the time he was around, I think it would be 20 years old, he started an organization called Hepra back in Burkina Faso. And this was around 1980. And what this was a mobilization of traditionalists in order to create an organization to preserve the traditions back home. Because even though we have everything preserved back home, the colonization process is still occurring there. And on all levels need to mobilize in order to protect the traditions and to represent the traditions in the world. So Hepra was founded on some of these principles. And then fast forward about 13 years in the beginning of the 90s, there was a calling to come to the U.S., and the Makadu got the approval of his elders and priesthoods and spiritual authorities and got the okay to come to the U.S. and actually open up the initiation for people from the diaspora and beyond, because it was seen that there was a great need that the children of the diaspora had lost the these fields of knowledge, spirituality, philosophy, the basic values that make us human, our history, our language, all of these things, and our orientation in time and space. So it was seen as high time to open up a legitimate arm of the initiation in the colonial world in order to re-educate those who wanted to go through the vigorous process. And so by the end of the 90s, the first Earth Center was established in Chicago. And in 2005, the Earth Center in New York was then established. And that's when I got involved. I began taking classes in 2006.
And you are among the first graduate of initiates in the New York Earth Center?
Yes, I am of the first graduating generation in New York.
Mm-hmm. And what has this experience meant for you in terms of perhaps how your life presented itself before and what you have grown to learn and be able to share into the world as a consequence of it?
Well,
am I asking big questions?
That's also a massive subject. Yeah, that's a very massive subject. I'll try to boil that down. When I was young, I never really bought into the version of reality that the system presented to me, you know. I started realizing kind of in my teenage years and seeing, you know, what they're selling me in school and these kind of things, approaches, mentalities, philosophies, this really isn't seem to be the way it works, you know, in all practicality when observing the world. And it kind of pushed me on a quest to kind of search traditional culture because, you know, I figured, here are all these people doing things in a sustainable manner that makes sense. You know, their actual life, you know, their deeds in life show that they're living in a good way versus this mess that I was brought up in, you know, in the colonial world. And I said, well, you know, maybe there's something to this. And I went on a kind of what we call spiritual panhandling, you know, kind of went around, did the salad bar style, and took a little bit of everything I could find to, you know, do the best with what I had.
Yeah.
And later in my life, you know, I'm a musician as well. I spent a lot of years playing music in my 20s, and then kind of came back around at the end of my 20s to explore traditional spirituality. And this is when I found the Earth Center. And I had some knowledge of the depth of the Dogon's culture just through, you know, through intellectual circles and speaking to people, understanding that their line goes back unbroken. And that was of tremendous value to me. So when I had heard that there was a Dogon in the U.S. Teaching, it was something that really perked my interest. So I went and began studying. And as soon as I came to the school for the first time to sit in on class in Brooklyn, there was the Prophet Neb Nabha. He was there teaching the class, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, there's the guy. And I sat, and from all the philosophy, all the things that I'd been exposed to for years and years, you know, reading different works from the East, from the Americas, different philosophers, going back into antiquity, the stuff that he was teaching cut through all the fat, and it was just the most practical, basic kind of teachings that I had ever heard or received before. And I stuck around, you know, because I'm from, you know, I was born and raised in New Jersey. So for me, I'm, you know, I'm a pretty skeptical person. So I had to stick around for a little while. I had that grain of salt for a minute. And, you know, after time, and then finally after going to Medita for the first time, going to Africa, I realized the depth of what this was. And then, you know, in turn, I submitted myself to the process to really start working on myself and changing myself. And just as I had said, the thing that really stood out for me was the deep practicality, and maybe in other words, like a deep connection with nature and the human condition, which I noticed when I first started listening to the teachings. This is really the type of change that this initiation has had on me. It has taken all of the things I was exposed to and slammed them down into context. And my perspective on nature, spirituality, and everything was also affected by this very intense degree of practicality, this very sober approach to spirituality and philosophy.
Mm. And I just want to ask Paulette if you have a question you would like to add at this
at this point.
I
was reviewing a bit of the Earth Center's webpage, and I see a section where they speak of the life of a Chem and the commandments, and I was wondering if you could expand on that. What is a Chem, and how are the commandments incorporated in the workings of the studies that you've undertaken?
That's a good question. I also just wanted to, before you get to that, Nikita, let people know that they're going to have an opportunity to actually meet and study with yourself and the other first-generation graduates of the Earth Center for an event called Mapping the Cosmos, Kemetic Timekeeping and the Zodiac. So discover mysteries of time and space, connecting astronomy and astrology, the origins of the zodiac signs, spirituality and cosmic cycles. And that is coming up on, I believe it is it Saturday, December 5th, and it will be at 570 Fulton Street in Brooklyn at 4 p.m. So I just want to put that there because you might be able to move the conversation about what it means to be what it means to be a person of Chem and, you know, all of these divine teachings, and you might be able to lead yourself into the event coming up, the mapping of the cosmos.
Yes, no problem.
Thank you.
No problem. Yes. Also, if you want information to contact about the event or need to contact anybody, it's also the phone number is 917-559-9219. That's 917-559-9219. And that's Buimin Kamentu's number.
Okay.
So, Chem culture is basically the culture from back home. And we really, if you trace the root back far enough, we see this Chem culture at the root of all human culture, all things that we can call civilized culture. And a Chem, being a Chem, really comes with following a set of values, you know. And that's really the set of values that comes from, you know, black people from Merida or from, you know, what we call Africa these days. And this is a set of values that basically ensures that the human being's survival is ensured by fitting into the harmony that Earth presents. Because we all live on the Earth, and we all are subject to a common environment. And that environment comes with form, it comes with structure, you know, and our ancestors from the past and our current Chem brothers and sisters maintaining the culture back home in traditional societies, they're all masters at fitting into the harmony that nature presents in order to survive and to be harmonious and to resonate harmoniously with the existence. So being a Chem kind of has some of those fundamental ideas there in the identity. And the 77 commandments, those are basically a list of taboos, which are things that we don't do, things we want to avoid. And we see it as really it's the things that we don't do which define us. Because if I was to say that it's the things I can do that define me, then there's a million things I can do. And so that doesn't really define a person or give them their spirituality. It's the things that a person will not do that really defines them spiritually. So, you know, this... this was a list of ordinances that was originally presented to us a long time ago, as our ancestors remember it, by the divine world, in order for us to fulfill our own self-proclaimed wish. When confronted with the divine world, we said, well, we want to be like you. We want to purify ourselves. We want to evolve. We want to be divine. So the divine world gave us a set of principles that helped us in our human condition in order to refine ourselves and to work on ourselves and to raise our qualities through our life and through the lifetimes as well. So that's a kind of a synopsis of, you know, being a Chem and the 77 commandments. But as you know, like Chem, you know, Chem culture, there's a lot of etymology or a lot of roots in the words that we use today, you know, like chemistry and, you know, even we've been demonized by modern religions, you know, like the children of Chem, you know, and all these kind of things. But, you know, we really, it's just coming from Chemetic culture, from those that have maintained this great culture back home.
Beautiful. I would really like to get into the topic of your upcoming event, and that's, again, Mapping the Cosmos, Chemetic Timekeeping, and the Zodiac. Mm-hmm. And it's coming up relatively soon. It's on December 5th. And the number to call for information is 917-559-9219. It's at 4 p.m. at 570 Fulton Street in Brooklyn. And again, December 5th. So you can find out a little bit more information also on the website, probably. Is that true, Nikita? TheEarthCenter.org?
Yes, yes. You can find out more information at www.TheEarthCenter.org.
Okay.
No spaces, no dots, just The Earth Center, one word.
Okay. And so how can you explain about Kemetic timekeeping, mapping the cosmos, and the whole relationship of time and the divine world?
Sure. That's another big subject.
Well, people will be able to come to the event to
right,
really
right.
learn it in
right,
depth.
Right.
But to just give a sense of where this will take them in understanding.
Okay. Well, like I had said before, one of the big benefits that I saw when I first came into this initiation was this intense level of practicality. A lot of these kind of intellectual or philosophical notions, they can kind of only live in the realm of philosophy or intellectuality unless they have a root that connects back to the source or to the earth. Like, meaning, I could have a lot of ideas and maybe opinions and do a lot of mental exercises, you know, considering things in my head. But unless the brain work I'm doing, unless all of these concepts have a connection to the earth, then they just remain like concepts, kind of like a tree without roots, you know. So it has the appearance, you see all the branches and the fruits on the tree, and it has the appearance of something technical, but unless the tree itself has roots that connect it back to the earth, back to our place in time, all of that information or that philosophy or that book knowledge is really just meaningless. You know, it's just like a lot of speeches or a lot of information. And so, with that said, in traditional culture, all of the knowledge always first starts from a connection to the elements and a connection to nature. So just as I'm a human being, I have to understand that I have a body. I have to understand that I'm, you know, born, that I grow and then grow old and then die, go through the lifetime like this. I have to consume food in order to have sustenance. You know, I've got to wash myself to be clean. All of these kind of basic things I have to consider about my condition as a human being, they're not really philosophical, you know. It's really just a practical reality. So the human being, we also live on a planet. And this planet has a structure. And this planet and us, we experience the passage of time. You know, we experience these different periods in nature that have a huge effect on us, that is a practical effect. And so for Kemetic people, timekeeping really has to do with a practical connection to nature and keeping track of these periods of time in order to understand where we are and the different energetic effects that these periods have on us and, you know, being part of the skin of the earth, you know, that's very important to us. So it's a little different than just creating maybe a time division system, just starting counting from anywhere, which some of the modern systems do, you know, they're not really associated with actual time structure, you know. I don't know. Am I being clear about the practical aspect?
You're being clear about the practical aspect because I have a sense of that you're expanding that practicality from the body to the earth and then from the earth to the cosmos. And so if we're looking for our place in time, then we're looking at a really big picture, I would think. So
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how I'm understanding what you're seeing. And my understanding is that the Kemetic culture has documented and has created really the first understanding, the first mapping of the cosmos, the first mapping of time and of ages and energies. So, like, if you can explain a little bit about this, you know, the origins of the zodiac signs and about the cosmic cycles, so people could have a sense of what this event will be about.
Sure, sure, no problem. There's something we call the Mandala of Dendera. And the Mandala of Dendera is a map of the cosmos, and it's Kemetic in origin by many millennia. It pre-existed the Greek and Roman map of the stars and constellation by many millennia. And so all of the things we consider kind of astrology today, astronomy, they have their roots in Kemetic civilization. For example, the Kemetic months, we have the month we're in right now, and the Kemetic name for it is Atiri, and that month goes from November 10th to December 9th. And there's a divinity that rules over that month named Serket. And Serket is a divinity who has like the scorpion, or is a representation of the scorpion as a part of her herself. And we can see in that same period, that's the same period that they bring Scorpio, right, in the Roman or Greek mm-hmm. period. Also, if you look at Penipt, which is a month that spans from October 11th to November 9th, the divinity that presides over that month is Mahata. And Mahata is the Kemetic divinity that rules over justice and balance. And this is where we see in the Greco-Roman system, we have the sign for Libra, which is the scales, you know. Mm-hmm. So there are many, we can see very clearly when talking about, time division and astrology and astronomy, that the current system borrows quite a bit from the Kemetic system, you know. Unfortunately, the current calendar that we use, the Gregorian calendar, which was established by Rome originally as the Julian calendar, and it modified again and modified again. When it wouldn't work, it wouldn't work. They couldn't get it right until finally they've reached kind of this odd calendar that has months that don't start properly at the right places and have odd numbers of days and so on and so forth. So, you know, there's a lot of the Kemetic timekeeping that is kind of still has its imprint on the current structure, but it's lost the exactness. It's lost the kind of reason for being, of some of these structures.
Mm.
So I'm sure we're going to be discussing some of that in more depth, you know.
Yeah, and also how this transformation of the time keeping that the Kemetic civilization had into the more modern timekeeping was really a process of control and colonization and really reordering people's minds and pulling them out of sync with the truth of existence on Earth. So it's all a part of the structures that we see now that are so destructive in the world. A lot of that is attached to the calendar, as I understand it, the modern calendars.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, it's our modern system kind of was birthed out of craziness. I would even go as far to say insanity.
Mm-hmm.
In that, you know, there's a group of people that want to take over the world, you know, by brute force. You know, they learned a small amount of knowledge from committed culture. And they, you know, anybody who wants to kind of create the world in their own image is going to try to rewrite the fundamentals and then erase the past that preceded them. So, you know, whether it works or not, they're going to try to do something. You know, the Romans, in all their confidence, they thought they created a time-counting system that was perfect. You know, when they first did it, when they first established the Julian calendar, they thought it was perfect. And it only took a number of centuries before the seasons started slipping out of phase and, you know, it started getting cold at the wrong times and all kinds of problems because they really didn't have the knowledge. You know, they just had some kind of rudimentary knowledge of some architecture and, you know, some basic things and tried to take over the world with brute force and rewrite the world in their own image. And really the system that we follow today is solely a result of that.
Yeah.
Attempt to create a new world order, but you know, that the Romans initiated.
Yeah, I always have felt that we are still living in the Roman Empire. Very, very much so, even though people don't make that connection. And one of the things that you said I think is kind of important in that the Romans and the Greeks learned a little bit from Cometic culture and then decided to twist it in their own fashion. But one of the things that's still true about the Cometic culture is that it's not about who a person is, where they come from, what color, what race. It's about defining oneself as a human being. Could you explain that? Because obviously this information was freely shared with the people of those times, just like the Earth Center now makes it available. But it's available to everyone, isn't it?
Yes, we don't, at the Earth Center, we don't discriminate based on ethnic categorization of the human being. And the reason why we don't do this is because we are a spiritual organization and we're bound to a very deep level of practicality. So in order to understand the wisdom in that, you have to first understand that it's the colonizer himself that started to create these different categories of human beings in order so that they could be subjugated. There was a certain period in time, we don't even know what the white man was. That wasn't even a word. You know, people were judged based on, you know, the culture they came from, the village they were from, how they lived, their deeds as a human being, their deeds as a man or woman, how they walked in life. This is really how we judge people. And it's only the, you know, when the colonizer came along and proclaimed himself as the white man, as, you know, with a misunderstanding of a spiritual principle having to do with light and whiteness. He proclaimed himself as the white man and actually proclaimed all of the rest of the world as black. And you see, even on very early, you know, Roman conquests, like them being the white ones and the rest of the world being black, these black this black area of the world contained all different kinds of people. There's people to the north of Rome that they considered the black. There's people to the south of Rome that they considered the black, and so on and so forth. So for us, you know, we see it as very important not to define ourselves by the techniques of subjugation that have been put on us. Instead, we still have to go through the rigorous and challenging exercise of defining ourselves as our ancestors had defined themselves, which is one based on culture and one based on deed. Now, with that said, the Earth Center is an initiation, and the Earth Center protects itself. So the initiation has learned to protect itself. We've been through many, you know, cultural evolutions, and now the way it works is, you know, if an initiate comes into the Earth Center, no matter where they're from, what they look like, they're only going to go so far, you know, before the initiation spits them out if they're showing certain corruptions, you know, and that's the way the initiation protects itself. And our initiation at the Earth Center is a very slow process. So if you want fast results, don't come to the Earth Center, because what we're doing is really re-educating a person to think, live, breathe, talk, and walk like a traditional human being again, you know, in all aspects of their life. And it's a long process. I've been in it for 10 years, and I'm just at, like, child level, you know. It's been incredibly rewarding. But in order to do the kind of work, it takes a long time if you're really going to do it with quality and to, you know, forge yourself like a piece of steel in the fire, you know, into a sword. You know, in order to be a warrior in life, you got to really just put that sucker in the fire and keep banging away, you know, to make yourself better. So this, you know, the Earth Center itself is a very, an initiation process is deep. It's not an overnight thing, you know, and we have a lot of protections within the initiation that keep people with corruptions and with foul ambitions from progressing in it.
Well, I think that that's, you know, I'm glad it's important to let people know that this is not, you know, a light game, but it is in many ways lightening of the self, becoming a lighter, more, like you said, pure expression of a human being. And it may not be for everybody. However, at whatever level people engage the material and the teachings, I have found they come away changed and having learned a great deal. That was my experience.
Exactly.
I came, you know, from the small amount of exposure that I had, it's changed me in many, many ways. And I think that people can approach it from the perspective of wanting to really connect with the root of traditional culture and wanting to connect with the actual teachings and the knowledge. And, you know, some will make it, some won't. But it doesn't matter how many days or months or years you spend, you're going to come away with something that's going to change your life. That's been my experience. So I think
exactly.
It's well worth it. It's well worth it on any level to make those connections. And I've been sharing this material with people a lot, you know, through our fund drive. Sometimes we have offered the DVDs of talks, and, you know, so there's been this gradual exposure, and people are very much interested in learning about these ancient cultures, the ancient culture of the Dogon people. Now, a lot of people think of the Dogons as, you know, the Dogon of Mali, where some archaeologists went and decided to interview somebody, and they gave a very narrow perspective, not understanding how deep this culture goes back into time. And in fact, there are many, many different traditional and spiritual cultures within the mother continent that go back for millennia. And so, but the Dogon and the Naba line actually goes back to the time of the pharaohs and probably predates what we know of as the pharaohs. Would you say this is true?
Yeah, absolutely. The Naba bloodline goes back very, very far into pre-dynastic times.
Okay.
And even in the culture, we, you know, the times really, the majority, when you look at the timeline that the Egyptologists and the colonial academic bards kind of present, it says that the culture was only 3,500 BC, and that was the beginning. But that's incorrect. And the culture goes back very, very far. So, you know, a majority of the history of our culture is before 3,500 years BC. But certainly the Naba bloodline goes back that far.
Yeah, I think that one of the reasons I enjoy presenting this material is because, especially as you said, we've all been colonized and our minds are colonized in ways that we don't even know. But even an additional importance for me is the fact that most young people in this country have no connection to the real history, and so therefore have no connection to who they are, and are kind of like free-floating in the world, destroying themselves, destroying each other, not having a sense of self-understanding or self-love. And I believe that if young people begin to expand their knowledge of the truth of human history, human civilization, it will transform what's possible in the future. So how would you give that perspective of perhaps what the goal, the hope, the work of the Earth Center is? There's the initiation, but there's also the long-term work and mission.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I'll try to give a picture of that. And, there's many, many ways to be involved in the Earth Center. You know, we have people that come to the initiation. They come, study for a short time, and it impacts them greatly. We have people that study up through their graduation and then leave and take the knowledge with them, you know, up through the first year or two and take that into their lives, and that impacts them greatly. And we have some people that really stick it through to, you know, begin, you know, if they have the time, because it's very, very rigorous. It's like a very serious course of study. And you know, some people have had the time, made the time and had the focus to see it through to, you know, going to apprentice level. So they're becoming apprentice healers and traveling back and forth every year. And, you know, it's a path that you can kind of just pick a corner and start from wherever you are. And even the initiation isn't the only way you can be involved in the Earth Center. We have locations all over the country, and the initiates, we always have events, we have lectures, and all of the Earth Centers are always open to anybody who wants to come and spend time and dialogue and talk about culture and philosophy and history with the initiates. So this, you know, the Earth Center is really there as a resource on many levels, you know, for anybody. And we've been constantly trying as an organization to be even more creative with how we get out into the communities locally and do things that are not necessarily just the initiation itself, but, you know, events, you know, like workshops, lectures, just having a presence. So, you know, the mission is really to expose human beings to original culture so that we may have a model besides the corrupt model that we're given to in the U.S. and in modern culture, you know, of just really kind of being an employee and just these kind of abstract ideas, just like follow your dreams, get a job, you know. There's actually many, many more, much more depth to a human being and to, you know, kind of what we have to live and die for. And the understandings that traditional culture, that really, you know, what we can consider African culture, Chem culture, can give to the youth and can give to humanity at large, will help everybody to return back to a level of civilization that's more humane, more intelligent, more practical, and more sustainable. You know, so in terms of like a long term, you know, really this is the goal, is to make human beings, to change the human being situation where we're kind of like a bacteria on the skin of the earth, you know, creating irritations and eating away at the earth. We want to change it so we're living back into harmony with nature, so that we are like a part of the earth instead of like a parasitic entity. Does that make sense?
It certainly does. Paulette?
Yes?
I wanted to give give you back the opportunity to ask a question or a comment.
I think you've covered much of what I would have asked.
Okay, well, that's cool. I think that that's very true. And I want to just remind people again that this is a very special opportunity for them to participate and learn. The Earth Center presents Mapping the Cosmos, Kemetic Timekeeping, and the Zodiac. Discover mysteries of time and space, connecting astronomy and astrology, the origins of the zodiac signs, spirituality in cosmic cycles. And it is an event on December 5th, and the address is 570 Fulton Street in Brooklyn, 4 p.m. You will want to call or go to the website because there is a small amount that you'll be offering in exchange for this event. So call 917-559-9219, or you can go to the website to do more research on this, theearthcenter.org. So again, that's December 5th, and I believe that's Saturday, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Saturday, December 5th, 4 p.m., 570 Fulton Street in Brooklyn. The number is 917-559-9219. And so, I mean, I've taken you on a spectrum of information with my questions, Nikita. Did I give you a chance to share what you wanted to share? I wanted to give you the final opportunity to bring your thoughts to the air.
Sure. I think through your questions on the topic, I ended up sharing most of what I wanted to share. But I would like to say one more thing based on one of the last things you had said, which is the situation of the youths, you know, and it's a very, very important topic. I think these days there's what I've observed is kind of an attitude among the youth, and it's almost like an oversaturation. And this is, you know, I'm speaking especially of youths of color. There's been an oversaturation of options, an oversaturation of choices, philosophies. And these days, with this new generation that's coming up, it is almost like this disenfranchisement, you know, like everything that could have been tried has been tried. And, you know, everybody's just kind of going for their own, you know. Everything that's been tried has been tried, so I'm going to just try to get mine and get stable and, you know, protect myself, protect my family, and, you know, just like that. And there's been, that's been actually a successful campaign by the system to try to disengage a human being from their real roots and their real power, you know, to be able to disenfranchise someone to the point where they kind of are, you know, just going with whatever they can because it's in front of them. And as somebody who travels back and forth to Africa every year, I just want to say to all of the youths that, you know, the culture that we're coming from, you know, our roots is very, very deep. And the knowledge and power that comes with knowing yourself and understanding these real fundamental of the roots is something that is life-changing. And that's the kind of power that someone can't take away from you through money. Someone can't take away from you through fame. Someone can't take away from you with a gun. You know, this kind of thing is really very big. And life-changing. So I would just encourage the youths, maybe some who are up and who are listening to this program, to explore their roots in Merita and explore it from a traditional line, because this is true greatness. And even all of the modern things that they're presenting as goals for us, those, all of those vocations, all of those aspects of life are preserved and really have their origins in traditional society in their richest form. So that was just something else I would like to say, because it's we're kind of in a very, like, an emergency situation with the youth, you know?
I totally agree. And certainly those of you who are listening might want to bring the young people in your life, your children, your nieces and nephews, to this event. I mean, at an Earth Center event, anytime I've listened to a video or attended an event, they were children as little as 1 and 2 and 3 running around. It's kind of a family affair anyway. So bring young people, you know, begin to expose them to what's possible for them, you know, a direction that they, that could really make a difference, not only in their lives, but the impact that they'll have on the world as well. So I just so want to thank you very much for joining us today, Nikitam Kamento. And I just once again want to tell people,
Kathy,
it's December 5th. The Earth Center presents Mapping the Cosmos, Kemetic Timekeeping, and the Zodiac. And it is 4 p.m., 570 Fulton Street in Brooklyn. The number to call for information is 917-559-9219. And go to the website, theearthcenter.org. You can sign up for their newsletter, and there's all kinds of educational material right there on the website as well. So
thank you so much to both of you for having me.
No problem. You're very welcome. Thank you for taking the time to be with us this morning.
And, okay,
take good care.
Okay, blessings to both of you.
Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
Thank you.
And Paulette, we have a little time, and really very, very... I really enjoyed that interview. It's easier to do interviews when we're in the same room face to face. It's a little bit more difficult on the phone because I can't read what you're thinking, so I have to sort of pull you in at a few moments in it. And so I apologize for putting you on the spot like that. But
okay.
I thought it was really a very good interview, and I enjoyed it.
So did I.
What was your overall thought?
I think it's so important to have organizations that really promote basic human consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Like that,
yeah.
Where history and nurturing human nature and the appreciation and respect of nature come into play, and I think that's an extremely important institution and belief system that really ought to be promoted amongst the young. And I agree that there are many young people who are overwhelmed by things in the world, I would say maybe overstimulated. And to have an institution or the Earth Center which can ground them in a way is a very, very important thing.
Right. And I think a lot of us folks who are on the other side of the spectrum in terms of age can also benefit from being grounded and learning about traditional culture, though I have to say it is an arduous process. I want to remind people in just a moment about the event we spoke about last week. So if you all hang on for just a moment, Paulette, I'll be right back.
Okay.
And we'll be talking for just a few minutes to remind folks. We're going to bring Mahesh back on, and then we will re-engage. So everybody stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
즐거워요 자세 주원아 안가지 간난 리가 도우라 고란 레잘 살다기 데코지크라 기냐스 부디 코미스키니 라바기아 부디 보여 어디시트렛 해바 고란 레잘 살다기 데코지크라
Welcome back. You're listening to Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight with Catherine and Paulette. And we're being joined by Mahesh Bridges. And we spoke last week about the New York City's amazing Holistic Health Expo, November 28th and 29th. And as it is coming up this weekend, I thought it would be a nice idea to remind you of all that's going to be happening. Hello, Mahesh. Thank you for staying up late or early, depending on how you look at it, to join us again this week.
And thank you, Catherine, for allowing us to come on your show and to talk about our event that's coming up, our Holistic Health Expo.
Yes. So it's 2 days, November 28th and 29th, Saturday and Sunday. And it's at the National Black Theater in Harlem, 125th Street. I think it's between 5th and... It's on... Tell me the address. I don't think I copied it down correctly.
Oh, the actual address is 2031 5th Avenue.
Okay, it's actually on 5th Avenue. That's what I thought.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's between 125th and 126th Street on Fifth Avenue. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's, just remind us the difference. What's going to be happening on Saturday the 28th and Sunday the 29th?
Okay. Well, basically, on the 28th, we're going to dedicate that time towards dealing with holistic and natural remedies that can help to heal and maintain good health for people. So we're going to have acupuncturists, we're going to have folks that do massage, we're going to have folks that do chiropractoring. It's going to come in, and some are going to talk about the actual science of acupuncture, or the way that chiropractoring works. And, you know, the benefits of these different naturopathic paths for healing the body.
Nice.
And we're also going to even have services of them as well, because some of them will be there as acupuncturists, as masseuse, to actually offer their services for those folks that would like to participate in having those services done for them.
Okay. And on Sunday?
And on Sunday, our day is going to be dedicated more so because holistic means spirit, mind, body. So we're looking at, you know, more of the mental and spiritual aspect of the equation when we're talking about Sunday. But on Sunday, we're going to have a spiritual unity conference where we're going to have a spiritual unity panel that's going to discuss the miraculous power of prayer and meditation and how in having the ability to utilize these powerful tools, it can not only just heal an individual, but it can help to heal a community and the world community if you have enough people involved.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a beautiful weekend, and we don't give ticket prices and stuff like that over WBAI because we're a nonprofit station, but they can call, can they not?
Oh, yeah, they can definitely call. The number that they can reach us at is 914-979-6372. That's 914-979-6372.
Mm-hmm. And they can also go to the website nycamazingholistichealthexpo.com. And you have a Facebook page as well that people can go on and find if they want to connect and see some of the conversation that's going on around this particular event. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there, and hopefully I will be able to meet a lot of you as you come by this event. I'll be there waiting for you, hoping to say hello and make those connections. It's really nice for a person such as myself to be able to be out there in the community with people, talking and sharing and networking, and I hope to connect both with our audience, our listeners, and people who want to engage in health, as well as with all the different health practitioners that are going to be there, because I'll be looking for expanding my connections in those ways as well. So I hope you do come. And if you do, look for me, Catherine. I'll be there. And I think it's going to be a beautiful event. And there's going to be also a lot of music, or at least some music as well. Maybe you want to share a little of what's going to be happening as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, we have a few folks that's going to be coming and performing there. We have a young lady by the name of Rada. And she's coming all the way from California to come and perform there at the National Black Theater for us. And she'll be bringing some real serious, beautiful music there. Some of it will be dealing on a spiritual note. Some of it will be dealing with, some pop and contemporary music, And I think it's good to have some music that makes you think, and makes you feel that positive, good energy sometimes, instead of hearing sometimes the negative music that, talking about it's good to sell drugs, it's good to kill each other and all of this. So sometimes we need to take a break from that and go on the opposite end and hear some positive music. We're also going to have some other folks as well. There's a young lady by the name of Revlin. She's going to be there also. And she's also a great singer as well. She's going to perform. And there's also going to be some positive rap artists, believe it or not, that's going to also perform there as well. And another by the name of Judah is going to be there, and he's going to perform also. So we look forward to everybody coming on board and helping to contribute to making it a very positive and uplifting event.
Excellent, excellent. So, again, it is November 28th and 29th, New York City's Amazing Holistic Health Expo at the National Black Theater, on 5th Avenue between 125th and 126th Street. And but the hours are different for each to highlight that. So Saturday it starts at 11 a.m., is that right? And
yes.
Sunday it starts at what time?
Sunday it starts at 3 o'clock to 7 p.m. and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
All right. The New York City Amazing Holistic Health Expo. And give out that number one more time.
Sure. The number we can be reached if you have any questions, 914-979-6372. That number again, 914-979-6372.
Thanks. And Paulette is also on the line. Hi, Paulette.
Hello.
And I just wanted to have the opportunity for you to share, if you wanted to, on this upcoming event.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a wonderful event, and I'm hoping to be there as well.
Excellent. Okay, well, I want to say thank you so much, Mahesh, for getting up in the middle of the morning and joining us yet again. I know it's kind of difficult sometimes, but I appreciate that you were able to make the effort, because I think it's important. You know, this is a community event, and it supports a lot of community holistic practitioners. And, you know, when I'm here at the radio station, I see the big name people coming through, but it's really difficult for people who are out there in the trenches working with people every day to connect and network and build that community. And I love what you're doing, because it includes the health, the physical things we can do, the energetic things we can do, the mental, psychological, spiritual. It's just really brings it all together. And that's important, because that's who we are as beings. We have all these facets to our nature. And this is a wonderful way to come together and learn to be healthy as we build, you know, healthy communities and healthy families. So right. Thank you.
And I definitely wanted to thank you as well. You know, and I look forward to you and Paulette coming, because that's, like you said, that's what it's all about. Not just, you know, being on the air and talking about it, but actually participating in community affairs that can have a huge impact on the community and on the individuals that are looking for ways to improve their health and to uplift themselves spiritually and things. So it's just good to have folks like yourself that really want to come on board and really get involved. So I do appreciate you participating and getting involved with the program. And I'm just hoping that all those who come out for the program can really feel and see the ways in which this can be beneficial to them.
Excellent. So thank you. And I guess I'll be speaking to you again soon.
Yes, indeed. Thanks again, and have a lovely morning or evening, whichever way you want to put it.
I haven't figured that out yet, but thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, wow. So that was nice. I think that was really cool.
Indeed.
And so we still have another few minutes of our program this morning, Paulette. So what kind of a week has it been for you? We usually get a chance to chat at the top of the show, but I was a little bit overly stressed with these very familiar phone. It's actually the same physical phone that was at the other studio.
Oh.
But all of the configurations are different, and but it all worked out fine. So
wonderful.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I wanted to add one thing, though. As an announcement, the composer Alice Shields will be having a performance of her, I think it's a short opera, on December 1st at Opera America at 7:30 p.m. And the concert, the title of it is That Certain Age. And it should be quite beautiful. I understand it's based on Chinese opera, if I'm not mistaken. But I think it should be quite a lovely performance. And it will be at Opera America, which I understand is about 7th Avenue and 26th Street, on December 1st, which is Tuesday at 7:30 p.m.
That's right. The mini opera, Camachi at, what is it, Secadera?
Yes.
And it's Tuesday, December 1st. I'm looking at the email now. 2015 at 7:30 p.m., Opera America, 330 7th Avenue. And it has with Martha Culver, soprano, Sarah Carrier, alto flute, and Miyuko Matsudo, koto. So it sounds like it's going to be beautiful.
I think I may be wrong in terms of the origins. It may actually be Japanese.
Okay. The concert entitled That Certain Age is a program of short operas about aging with grace and humor. It sounds really nice. And there's actually a number that people can call for tickets, and that is 212-868-4444. And there's an email, smarttix.com, smarttix.com, seems to be the information. I'm not sure if that will work. It's probably more complicated than that. But if one were to send an email to me at heartofmindradio@gmail.com, I'd be happy to send the link.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to it. This is another event that I am very much looking forward to being at. And seeing, you know, it's so rare these days that we get an opportunity to really connect with a modern day composer, with someone who has such a depth of musical creativity as does Alice Shield. It's just beautiful. Really beautiful. So, thank you for bringing that in. I'm grateful. So, what else is happening with you?
Nothing else, really. I guess I'm thankful for, having all of my mental faculties, having a place to rest my head, and having a very wonderful circle of friends and family.
Well, now, thank you. You reminded me that it is Thanksgiving, isn't it not? But that's something that you're thankful for every day, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's really the whole meaning. Thanksgiving is an everyday thing. It's not a once a year thing.
That's right.
And when we realize that, maybe the world really will change. If people can be thankful every day.
Truly.
Yeah. So we're just about out of time. We're going to be moving on to Hour of the Wolf in just a moment or two. Well, we have 5 minutes. So, yeah.
How was your week?
Oh, it's been really nice, actually. I have a tendency to live quite an isolated life at the moment. But, you know, I've been working on my projects. I'm going to be doing at least for a few months, I'm going to be doing a monthly event here at the Commons downstairs. So I was working out that schedule starting next year. I'm looking to, I'm presenting proposals for doing some workshops. I'm teaching a morning class, Qigong class, at Studio Maya in Brooklyn, and I hope to be doing a more expansive workshop there coming in January, or thereafter. So I'm putting together some opportunities to share and to teach and to explore. So, for instance, at the event downstairs, it would be like this show, only the studio the guests would be there and I would be there, and we would have the studio audience of people who would come to the event. So, you know, we're creating little opportunities to deepen the connection with our audience and with our community. And truthfully, I'm working on becoming self-sustaining in the sense that I once had a 9-to-5 job, though it was never really 9-to-5. And now I'm learning to cultivate a lifestyle according to, you know, my own gifts, sharing what I have to share, learning to create and manifest into the world those things that I require for living, but also those things that I'm passionate about and are, you know, it gives me great joy to do. From my perspective, that's really the way to live, to be able to live in a way that is full of fulfillment and joy and sharing and exchange, and to just be able to live on that level of being human and totally who you are. You know, in that process, there's a lot of fear in terms of, okay, I don't have anything stable around me to hold on to in terms of my own support systems, but I'm growing at an accelerated rate and learning how to truly engage in this manifestation process of creating and of connecting to a cosmic flow, to the abundance that's really embedded within our existence. You can connect into that and begin to channel that into your life, and through that you can evolve and develop and grow and create in a way that is self-sustaining as well as supportive of those people who are engaged in the process along with you. So it's an interesting process, and I'm enjoying it immensely at this point because I've reached through that fear barrier, and now I'm operating. It's more like surfing, like being in a raft or a rowboat, and just sort of navigating the waters and creating as you go along. You know, creating a sail, or you know, learning in the process. And it's dynamic. It's exciting, and I'm actually enjoying it immensely, and I'm actually looking to share some of this with people as well through these processes. And I know you're doing the same thing. So,
yes.
In your own way, you're doing exactly the same thing.
Yes, it's. I think I'm discovering ways in which I can center myself and bring together my passions and my training and my insight and present that to the world. And I think this is sort of something I've been wanting to do for a very long time. And sometimes in life you take risks, and of course with risks sometimes you sort of pay a certain amount because of what you're giving up in terms of other opportunities. But I think sometimes it's important to actually take a dive into the deep end of the pool and to use your wisdom and your smarts, your intuition to swim and just to make it happen. And so I think I'm going through a very similar evolution, I guess, or maturation process as you are.
Very true. So, and I think everybody is in some fashion going through a process of transformation, because the energies in the world are very different. Some people are choosing to step off into that unknown. Some people are being pushed out into the unknown, and we are all recreating the world together. So the best way to do it is together, by
truly
sharing information, sharing our knowledge and wisdom, and learning how to build this world in a way that's going to change the direction from what it looks like. It's not how it seems. So that's where we're going with that. I want to thank you for being here with me today.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
Hour of the Wolf should be here in just a moment. As far as we're concerned, yes, here it is. And so we'll be back next Wednesday. Our fun drive starts very soon in December. So we want to invite people to think about. Starts on the 7th of, no, yeah, the 7th of December. So I guess we have another week before that starts. And but we're going to come up with something really special for you. So don't think we won't be here. We're going to have something very special. So thank you, Paulette. And
thank you, Kathy.
Bye-bye for now.
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program of science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. This is a pre-recorded edition recorded on Wednesday afternoon. My guest will be Randy Dawn, pre-recorded last week. Stay tuned. I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. Okay, so who's the monster here? In the new Austrian film Goodnight Mommy, which is coming out on home video on December 1st, young twin brothers Lucas and Elias, played by actual twin brothers Lucas and Elias Schwartz, are being held in isolation in a luxurious country house by their mother. Her face is swaddled in bandages, the blinds are perpetually closed, Dad is nowhere to be found, and the basement freezer is stocked with enough pepperoni pizza to last through several zombie apocalypses. And Mom, played by Suzanne West, isn't just acting like Mom. Maybe, the boys begin thinking, it's because she isn't actually Mom. But there are no boys, only boy, Elias, whose brother was killed in some unspecified accident that also disfigured their mother, destroyed her marriage, and devastated Elias to the point where he's conjured his departed sibling as an imaginary friend or, more dangerously, an enabling manifestation of his survivor's guilt. The home is not a prison, but a retreat intended to give Mommy time to heal from reconstructive surgery and allow her to wean Elias from his delusions. In Elias's case, the healing process isn't working, and directors Veronica Franz and Severin Fiala turn out to be virtuosos in concealing how severe that failure is until the film's final act. Goodnight Mommy is one of those films where you don't realize you've fallen down the rabbit hole until you see the floor rapidly approaching, and then it's too late. Two-thirds of the tale is sustained, low-key dread. The final act is remorseless culmination of that build-up. If you've seen Takashi Miike's Audition or the White Bear episode of the TV series Black Mirror, you know what you're in for. What makes the experience so radical is Franz's and Fiala's ability to take you inside Elias's head, into a mind so traumatized by tragedy that it cannot reconcile how that tragedy has affected others, how the formerly loving mother might be transformed, might be as in need of healing, might be unaware of how profound her transformation may appear to a heretofore innocent mind. In Goodnight Mommy, it ain't the mad scientist making the monsters. It's the horrors of life itself, and no one's immune. But if you want more conventional monsters, let me recommend The Hallow, an Irish film that opened a couple of weeks ago, in which a conservationist moves his wife and infant child to a remote cabin and discovers the woods populated with the horrific manifestations of mythic forest-dwelling creatures, none of whom speak in iambic pentameter, but all of whom are intent on adding a new baby to their population. The film's nicely atmospheric, and director Corin Hardy even imbues his night dwellers with a certain portion of empathy. We're nowhere near the radical takes on the concerns of parenthood that The Babadook or Goodnight Mommy invoke, but The Hallow is good fun nevertheless. And while we're talking radical, this isn't genre fully, but if you're a child of the 60s or 50s or 70s, you might be interested in knowing that S'more Entertainment has released a disc set of The Great American Dream Machine, the innovative PBS series that mixed animated shorts, media satire, cinema verite, and experimental video into one delirious omnibus, and pretty much paved the way for Saturday Night Live, The Daily Show, Adult Swim, the GOP's ongoing enmity towards PBS. You can still see the face of the PBSP looking to the left at the end of each episode here, and pretty much the whole ironic media ecology that we now live in. A lot of it is crude from a production standpoint. This is pre-digital, after all. 16mm does hold sway here. Some of it is grievously dated, but it does stand very much as one of the last rousing examples of when broadcast TV was treated as a genuine laboratory, when rawness and unpredictability stood as representative of the revolution taking place over all aspects of American life. That spirit has gone to other conduits and has somehow turned into an endless stream of cat videos, but it's still rousing to see it in its nascent form. I'm Dan Persons. Remember to check out the latest episode of my bad movie podcast, Temple of Bad, focusing on the insane Mexican horror film, The Brainiac. You can catch it at the Mighty Movie Podcast website
over at mightymoviepodcast.com.
November 1621. By now, the white man has arrived in great numbers, not only at Miami, but at Jamestown, at Plymouth, and at Salem, Massachusetts. The Puritans have established a thriving colony, enjoying all the social and cultural refinements of a modern society.
Hiya, Harv. Who are you taking to the witch burning Saturday night?
Prudence Adams. Who are you taking to the Rotary Club luncheon?
I haven't got a date yet, but I hear it's going to be quite a spread.
Well, Mayor Pennypacker, how's it look for re-election?
Great, great, great. Never looked better.
Yeah, what about the Indian vote?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you're not too popular with the Indians. They could lose you the election.
That's possible.
Well, they outnumber us.
Well, that's the trouble. You give them an inch and they take over.
But, Mayor, they were here before we were. We moved in on them.
So we did. Well, there's just something about them. They wear funny shoes. They don't even have buckles on them.
Be that as it may, election is Friday. You better make some gesture this week.
Like what?
Well, how about if you make a concession and pick an Indian as a running mate? You'd be sure to carry the Indian block.
What? Anything happened to me, you'd have a mayor that wasn't a Puritan. He'd probably take orders directly from Chief Powhatan.
Yeah.
Say, I got it. The big luncheon tomorrow. The one under the trees.
What about it?
We'll ask an Indian. That'll impress the rest of them.
We could even announce you're going to put one in your cabinet.
No need to go that far. Just have one to lunch.
It'll be great press.
Mayor Pennypacker comes out for equality. Justice. Votes. What a slogan. Take an Indian to lunch this week. Show him we're a regular bunch this week. Show him we're as liberal as can be. Let him know he's almost as good as we. Make a feathered friend feel fed this week. Overlook the fact he's red this week. Let him share our Quaker oats, 'cause he's useful when he votes. Take an Indian to lunch.
2, 4, 6, 8, who do we tolerate? Indians, Indians, rah, rah, rah. Take an Indian to lunch this week. Let him sit right down and munch this week.
Let's give in and all do the brotherhood bit. Just make sure we don't make a habit of it. Take an Indian to dine this week. Show him we don't draw the line this week. We know everyone can't be as American as we. After all, we came over on the Mayflower. Take an Indian. Not a wooden Indian, but a real-life Indian to lunch.
And again, good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund. And a couple of quick announcements. Number one, December 8th, mark your calendars and come on over to the very building where WBAI is at 388 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn and join us for our annual New York Review of Science Fiction family reading with